Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God and a topic that we were talking about this morning on other shows was, what is a Christian? What is a follower of Christ? Who is really following and believing in Christ, whatever that means? Christ, meaning the anointed, the Messiah, the Messiah, the King of Judea, the King of Israel, the King of the Kingdom of God on earth. That's what it was. The members of that kingdom called themselves sons of God, children of God. And Jesus was the Son of God, the Father's Son here to be the King of the people who were the children of God, the eldest Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. We have all these titles and terms, and people have a tendency to believe in titles and terms rather than actually believe in what Jesus said. Because he said it wasn't those who said, Lord, Lord, but those who actually did the will of the Father. Those who keep my word. Those who keep my commandments. Those were the faithful. Those were the followers of Christ who were called Christians first in Antioch. Today, we got lots of people called Christians, and they certainly can't all be following Christ, because they're doing all kinds of things that Christ said not to do. They say they believe, but they don't really do what Christ said to do. And the product of that is the absence of what Christ said you would do. Greater things than these you shall do, and not only the things that he was doing, but greater things than those. But they aren't doing them. They're wallowing in a religious philosophy that they think has something to do with Christ. They're told it has something to do with Christ. I'm going to take some side trips. We often do rabbit trails. We love rabbit trails. It gives us the lay of the land when we take a rabbit trail. Rabbit run out and around in a circle and come back to where they were before, because they're not as tall as other animals, so they could get lost in the brush. You know, when they're fleeing from a predator. So they run out always in a circle with the intention of coming back to where they were before. So good hunters who go out with dogs who hunt rabbits, they let the dog chase the rabbit. They know, they stand where they spotted the rabbit, because that's where he's coming back to. But we're using rabbit trails to get a lay of the land. We're not hunting rabbits. We're not going down rabbit holes. We've already been down the rabbit holes. If you want to know how deep the rabbit hole goes, you should know that by now, because you're there. We're going to take you back up to the light of day. In nature, which tells us a great deal about the kingdom of God, which is spiritual, and it is the spirit that created the physical realm, not the physical realm that created the spiritual realm. In nature, we will find evidence of the spiritual realm, the laws, the ways, the procedures, the program that we see in the spiritual realm. We will see first in the physical realm, because we are looking often with physical eyes at the world around us. And if we look with patience and love and forgiveness in our hearts, the scales that are on our eyes, the veil that keeps us from seeing the world of God, will pull away, will be lifted. We often can't see that because we are drawn towards the world that is anti-God. In our program on string theory, we show how scientists believe that there are membranes, that universe is a membrane, and that it is split off, and there's multiple dimensions, that a portion of the membrane split off. And of course, the Bible tells us there was this war in heaven where a third of the angels went one way. Well, do they have a realm? Yes, they have a realm. We call that hell. We call that Sheol's. We call that the Elysian Fields. They call it lots of things in lots of cultures, but it is another realm. So, but there is almost always two realms in every culture. There is the realm that is good, and there is the realm that is evil. Does good and evil war with each other? There was this war or conflict in heaven they talk about. Do these two membranes war? Do they pull against each other? Well, yes, they pull against each other, and in that pulling against each other, a new realm is created. The realm where this battlefield takes place between good and evil. What is the difference between good and evil? In nature, we see opposites attract. That's what we hear. Opposites attract. North Pole, South Pole, opposites attract. But good and evil are not really opposites. We think of them as opposing, but do we also think of them as light and darkness? If good and evil is like light and darkness rather than North and South Poles, they don't attract one another. Darkness is the absence of light. You never shine darkness against the light. Darkness is just what occurs when you block the light out. And the story in the Bible goes that Cain left the presence of God. If God is equated with light in our references to God in biblical texts or other, the Bhagavad Gita or other religious writings, God is equated often with light and evil with darkness. So darkness is the absence of God. So when Cain went out of the presence of God and created the first city-state, he went out of the light and into the dark and had to make his own light, had to provide his own life. He was not eating of the tree of life anymore. They couldn't eat of the tree of life because they decided to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They decided to decide for themselves what was good and evil. And we talked early this morning in what will eventually become a series on Christianity and what we think Christianity is and what it really is. We talked about the word exousia, which is translated power in the Bible and is found in one of my favorite verses in the Bible, which is from Paul's, Romans 13. Let every man remain subject to the higher power. And the word there is exousia. Well, power is also translated right, R-I-G-H-T, the right to do something. It is also translated liberty. It's even translated jurisdiction. The right to do something is what exousia means. The right to choose to do something. It's liberty. You were given your choices by God originally. But if you've given up authority over yourself to others and become a human resource, a piece of merchandise, a surety for debt, you may no longer have the right to choose for yourself. Someone else has the right to choose for you. You have gone under the power of others, under the right of others to choose for you and to rule over you. Of course, God wants you to be free souls under Him, and that, of course, is what the kingdom of God really is. The kingdom of God is the right to be ruled in your heart and in your mind by God. In your being, we talked this morning about DNA and spiritual DNA. In your being, there is a string of DNA. And that creates a pattern. That string, that double helix, creates a pattern. Like an antenna, it receives and sends signals to other cells in your body. Every cell has cellular communications, and they communicate with each other. Each one independent, but each one communicating with the other. You were born out of two cells that came together and mixed the DNA and formed new DNA, which was you, and repeated itself and splitting and repeating itself and splitting and repeating itself and splitting, but it was not exactly the same every time. The DNA was the same, but the cell took on a different purpose. Some cells become skin cells, some bone cells, some liver, some kidneys, some lungs, some brain cells. Some with more brain cells than others. The point is that from those single cells uniting comes you. But there's more to you than just the DNA. there's the spiritual side of you. And if spirit creates the physical universe, then the spirit that you are attached to, that you look to, that you worship, that you pay attention to, that you worship, that you look to, that you worship. See, that's what worship is, paying attention to. That DNA, that pattern, that character, that name is what guides the DNA in you. And when that DNA in you becomes confused because the spiritual DNA that you are drawn to is not one spiritual DNA, but others. You are drawn this way and that way, like the cartoons with the good angel on one shoulder and the bad angel on the other. And one saying, oh, do this. And the other one saying, no, don't do that. Follow the good way. Follow the straight way. No, you don't want that. You don't want that sissy stuff. You got these two voices speaking in your head. Two ideas, two DNAs, two kingdoms pulling on you. Which one will you attend to? One requires forgiveness. The other one does not. But it will require submission. Both offer you power in their realm. But in one realm, something is missing. It is absent. It does not have all the lights of the spectrum. It has lights. It is a light-bearer kingdom. That's what Lucifer means, light-bearer. But it does not have all the lights of creation, all the character of creation, all the DNA of creation, all the pattern of creation. It does not have a lot of forgiveness. It just doesn't have it. It doesn't have a lot of giving up of its life that others may live. It has more covet thy life that you may live. Covet the neighbor's good. This is why that is in the commandments, because in the realm of evil, coveting is okay. Ruling over others is okay. Exercising authority, controlling others is okay. But in the kingdom of God, it's about liberty. It's about choice. You see, when you are drawn towards covetousness, you are drawn towards hell. And you are, the DNA in you is plugged in to the DNA of hell, little bit by little bit, which is why there's all this confusion, because you're so complex. You're pulled in some ways towards righteousness, but not all the righteousness. You want some of the evil too. Some of the ways of evil are attractive to you. You need to repent of that attraction, because it is sucking you down into a kingdom that devours one another, into a dog-eat-dog kingdom, a survival-of-the-fittest kingdom. I don't want to pick on animals, but we call that in the animal kingdom. Animal kingdom is not all dog-eat-dog and survival-of-the-fittest. Obviously, in the realm of nature, survival-of-the-fittest works, and it makes things stronger. But like amongst the herd animals, yes, the weak of the herd die so that the strong may live. In the symbiotic relationship of a shepherd with his sheep, he eats some of his sheep so that others may live. He culls his sheep. He takes the weak ones and consumes them or sells them so that he may live, to serve the other sheep, because he serves the other sheep. They don't just serve him. He makes sure there's food in the wintertime. He protects them from the coyotes and the mountain lions. He is a shepherd. He leadeth them beside the still waters. It is in his nature to do that, because he is a giver of life, and his herd prospers and bears fruit. But the evil one decimates the land. And that is why the world is in trouble today. Not because of Democrats and Republicans. Not because of Muslims and communists and socialists. Those are the product of choices that we are making on a day-to-day basis. the world around us that is not bearing fruit, that has gone into debt, every nation into debt, is a product of the fact that we have been feeding on one another for over a century. Our schools are provided to us by men who exercise authority and take away from our neighbor so that we may have free education. They don't ask our neighbor, will you contribute to the school this year? They make them do it. They exercise authority one over the other. Christ said it was not to be that way with you. Every Christian thinks that's okay, almost, or so-called Christian. Certainly every false Christian. Every self-deceived Christian, every Christian that has gone out of the presence of God and pretends hypocritically to be Christian, are perfectly content to take away from their neighbor at the point of a gun to the agency of government so that they may have free schooling. That must stop if you are to walk in the light. Because if you think that way, if you live that way, you will be drawn in many ways towards the kingdom of hell. Health. What is going on in your health? When you are drawn towards one world that is missing DNA of God, missing the characteristics of God, the love, the patience, the giving of God. And you are also drawn towards God. You are torn apart. Part of you will think you are of this world. Part of you will think you are of that world. You will have an identity crisis. You will develop autoimmune diseases. Now, of course, you also develop an appetite for things that are not good for you. You will be drawn towards weakness of character. You will become more immoral in your activities. Then you will have to create religions that will justify you, religions in the sense of practices, to justify you in your sin. To say it's okay to sin as long as you touch this object, say these words, go to this church. But you will still be drawn in the current of such a system towards the wayward workings of wizards and hells all about you. No, you have to repent. You have to turn around. You have to move towards the light. And you have to be willing to see that you have been deceived, that you have been brought under a strong delusion. In Romans 13, it says, let every man remain subject to the higher power, the higher right to choose, because that's what the word means. Because it means liberty. It's translated liberty elsewhere in the Bible. So it says, let every man remain subject to the higher liberty, the original liberty under God. For all liberty is of God. There is no liberty but of God, and anyone who would oppose liberty opposes God. Because God wants you to have choice, but he wants you to choose wisely. The word exousia, when connected with the word auto in the Greek, auto exousia, means self-determination. And this is what we talked about this morning, is that self-determination, God wants you to be self-determining. And he wants you to determine that it is wise to eat of the tree of life, which is the tree of the Holy Spirit, which is the source of life. The Spirit of God. But you can't eat of that if you will. It will not be tasty. It will not be attractive to you. It will not be pleasing to you. It will be not something that you desire or covet if you are not going to take on the character of God. If you desire to take control of others, to rule over others, to take from others, if you fear loss, if you are hesitant to give, if you reject the idea of giving and forgiving, then you are going to be far from compatible with the Spirit of God. And you will be easily sucked away like a big fan, like a tornado whirling you away from the kingdom of God and the coverture of God and the protection of God. And he wants to come out and draw you back. One of the words in the Hebrew for draw near, to draw near to God, so to speak, is the word Corban. And you hear us talking about it. You don't hear many churches talking about Corban, and they certainly don't explain what it was. Corban was a social welfare system set up by Moses. It was before Moses. It was set up by men like Abraham, and then before him, men like Enoch. Where you give to help the poor, help the needy, to strengthen the poor, not to weaken them, to strengthen them, to help them come out of the poverty of their life and their hearts, and help them find the way to bless them in ways that they become whole people. That was Corban. You sacrifice for others. Shepherds do it. They get up in the middle of the night in cold windstorms and check on the sheep. Are they thinking of those lamb chops when they do that? No, they care about the sheep. They work in the hot sun to gather hay so that the sheep will have food when food is scarce on the range. They sacrifice themselves daily for their flock. So it is with man and the men that they serve, the living creatures that they serve, whether those living creatures are other men like themselves, or men not like themselves, or even the animals that we are to have dominion over. We want them to live and prosper and be fruitful and multiply, because that's the nature of God. The first commandment of God was to dress it and keep it, every living thing in it. So we are those who sacrifice for ourselves so that others may live. No greater love has a man than to lay down his life for his fellow man. That is the key to receiving the life and power of God, to lay down your life for others. So if you were to form a church, a congregation of people that gather in the name of Christ, what would you be doing? Would you be gathering in the name of Christ just to feel good when you're all done with the service? To talk about how Jesus loves you and how you love Jesus? How do you show that love? Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Constantly, Peter kept saying, "Yes, yes, yes." But what did Jesus finally say? "Feed my sheep." Feed him what? Feed him candy? What happens if you feed sheep candy? Feed him lots of fruit, grapes? I remember a story of a man who was a shepherd down in California. And he used to bring his sheep and move them along and go to different places. And the vineyards like the sheep to come in at certain times of the year and eat down all the grass. And it's usually late in the fall. And they asked him again this year to come bring his sheep in to eat down the grass. And they came in and they were eating down the grass. And then suddenly they started looking sick and they started to stumble and fall down and they weren't getting up, and there was something wrong with them. He thought they had eaten some toxin. He asked the farmer if they had sprayed the fields, and they said, no, we hadn't sprayed the field. There's nothing different. We don't know what it is. And so they called a vet out, and he was examining. There's 1,000 sheep out there, and they're all just falling down and stumbling and doing weird things. And what it was the vineyard had lots of grapes that year, and some of them got overripe, and they didn't pick them all. They left them on, they only picked them during a certain period, and then they left lots of grapes on the vine. And so the sheep started eating the grapes. Well, sheep are rumens. When they eat food, it ferments in their stomachs. That's what they do. If you see them when they rest, what was in their stomachs that they ate all the morning will come back up their throat. You'll see it come up their throat, and then they'll chew it again and swallow it down again. They're rumens. They re-chew their cud. And their cud is fermenting in their stomach with bacteria to produce the food that they actually digest, because they can't live on grass. They live on the fermentation of the grass. Well, they weren't eating grass. They were eating grapes. They were eating all those sweet grapes left on the vine. And they were drunk. 1,000 drunken sheep fall down drunk. Next day, it wasn't being drunk they had to deal with. It was the hangovers. But the point is what do you feed your sheep? Today, modern religion feeds the people lies. They feed them deception. They've been told lies too. I'm not saying all ministers are liars, but they teach lies. They may be deceived. There may be a great delusion and deception. And we'll talk more about that delusion and deception when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. Well, welcome back. We're talking about good and evil. Are we talking about the knowledge of good and evil? Because that was where we seem to have gotten into trouble, is eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the knowledge, the word knowledge, Adam knew his wife and they bore a son. They copulated and mixed their DNA and bore a son. They mixed their DNA and bore a child. Gave life to a new being. The knowledge of good and evil is the mixing of good and evil. Of deciding, yeah, I'll take some of this and I'll take some of that. It is only good that we need to take of. We are not to be so proudful to think that we can decide what is good and evil. It is already decided. We have to simply perceive it and discover it. And you discover it by submitting to it. And there's no trick to it. There's no, like, magic formula. Double, double, boil, and trouble. Your trouble is what you'll get when you try to formulate a way to create that knowledge of good and evil in your own mind. Good is good. That's it. It's already there. Righteousness is already righteousness. You are just simply to seek it. And in order to seek it, you must reject that which is not good. You must turn away from it and only accept that which is good, which is your dominion over this world, giving life. There's a great resurgence. It's been for, 40 years or so. Resurgence and back to nature, back to healthy living, and we see more of that, and people talk about being green, although everything that claims to be green isn't all that green. But there's a movement of some that want to go back to that righteous way of living. And they see something, they see the turmoil of unrighteousness in the world, and they want to go back. Now, how do you go back? I mean, Cain wanted to set things right too. According to his will, not according to God's will. So we have to seek the light of God. Seek the righteousness of God. And that's, of course, what Christ said. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He didn't say seek the kingdom of God or his righteousness. He's both. Seek to be ruled by God according to his righteousness. Because the people at that time were being ruled by Herod and ruled by Caesar. And ruled by their own passions and lusts. And he was saying, seek the righteousness of God, to be ruled by God, that giver of life, that creator of life. And that giver of life and light and understanding is what we need to seek. And unfortunately, some people say they want to seek that, But when it comes to seeing themselves as they really are, some personal introspection of the darkness in their own heart, they don't want to go there. I don't want to accept the idea that I might be wrong, that I might have done wrong, that I might be doing wrong right now. I don't want to hear that. I just want to hear what's right. Well, you can't. You can't see the truth unless you want to see yourself. Why do you think Adam and Eve were hiding from the light of God? Because they didn't want to see the truth about themselves. So if you don't want to see the truth about yourself, you're not going to see truth about other things. Evil blocks out the light. It rejects part of that light. It dwells in darkness. It creates its own light, but not the light of God. A distorted light. It's looking through a glass clouded is the way evil operates. If there are parts in your heart, in your being, your mind is not just up in your head, it's in your whole body. It's round about you. It's what you're aware of. But you don't want to be aware of certain things. You don't want to see certain things. You're creating a shadow in your being, a darkness in your being. And in that darkness, evil will dwell and influence you because it wants dominion over you. It wants your life. It wants you to be conducted by it. But God wants you to be conducted by Him, and we know God is more powerful. So the only thing you have to really do is choose this day who you will serve. You choose, and then you start the process. But your choice must be honest and truthful. So therefore, when you choose to follow Christ, you must take a step along that straight way, that narrow way. Through that narrow gate of righteousness. And stop doing some of the things you're doing daily that are unrighteous, such as coveting your neighbor's goods through the agency of government. This is why you're a slave today. This is why your whole nation is on the brink of economic disaster, because you coveted your neighbor's goods and you thought it was okay, and your churches didn't even tell you that it's not okay. They say it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods as long as you do it through Caesar. That's a lie. That's a deception. They say you have to obey Caesar. It didn't say you have to take from Caesar. Give to God what is God's. Your allegiance belongs to God and His righteousness. But if you've given your allegiance to Caesar for a pot of porridge, you should be in bondage because the slothful should be under tribute. So how do you get out? You turn around. You go the other way. You create a system with living altars of righteousness instead of civil altars of unrighteousness. Because that's where you go to get your daily bread today, is through those civil altars of unrighteousness. And your daily bread includes your free schools, your Obamacare. We talked this morning about the new Obamacare coming. They're already passing laws and bringing down regulations of do not resuscitate. Their euthanasia will be commonplace. It's already in the medical system, but they don't. There are new rules coming down. There were some that came down in Texas just recently. They don't have to ask the parents, the legal guardians. It's a hospital decision. It's going to become a bureaucratic decision, and things are going to be harder and harder. But they are the dog-eat-dog world that has now gained power in the world because you thought it was okay to covet your neighbor's goods, to steal the bones of your neighbor's household's cupboard so that you could have more stuff. You thought that was okay. It's not. It covers you so that you cannot let the light in of God. We cannot generate our own light. It's there for us. All we have to do is tap. We are alive and living creatures. So the light of God is there all the time. We've never left the garden. We've just fled the light. And we fled the light because we weren't willing to admit that we were sinners, that we were in error, that we cannot really decide good and evil. We can only choose one or the other. You cannot mix the two. And when you mix the two, you create confusion. Because evil is not complete. Evil is the absence of some of the character of God. If I took out some of your DNA, you would become cancerous. Just a few of the cells. I just knock out a few, you know, get some radioactive isotopes and knock out a few of those DNA as they form cells. Those cells will be cancerous. And your immune system will immediately try to kill them. Unless, of course, I've confused your immune system, in which case the cancer will develop. I mean, a great many cancers, brain cancers, that are occurring today are the result of polio vaccines. And the people who were actually inventing, I mean, the scientists were actually warning that this could happen. And you can go look it up. They know that it's causing brain tumors in thousands of people today. They know it. They knew it for years. They don't want to tell you because it's kind of bad press. They're hiding from the truth. I mean, you can probably look up a YouTube of the interview of some of the doctors who worked on the polio vaccine, and they'll tell you. They were warning about these other viruses that would be in the monkeys. And we've written articles on it, show you, you know, the protein that is attached to these monkey viruses that eventually they become inert. They can't do what they're meant to do, which is identify cancer cells and kill them. So people are developing brain tumors. If you have those brain tumors where you get lots of little ones in your brain, that's it. That's probably it. That the protein in your body that normally would destroy those is ineffective because it's all connected to monkey viruses that got into your body through the polio vaccine. And now, you know, they're mixing DNA of animals and people and plants and people and animals and plants and animals and animals, different species. They're mixing them to create all kinds of things. They're going to create a holocaust. I mean, an absolute holocaust of diseases that will run rampant. But some people, their goal is to eliminate large numbers of the people. Now, they would eliminate them all if they could. I mean, the powers that be that are behind this. But the reality is really what they want to do is get rid of all you people that are kind of edging towards the kingdom of God. That's why it's not good enough just to look a little bit towards righteousness. I like righteousness. I like what that Brother Gregory says about this, and I like what he says about that, but I don't want to mess with that other stuff. I don't want to actually go out and help other people. I don't want to gather together and become the buddy system times 10, which has always been the evidence of the kingdom, whether it was in Israel or the early church or whatever, which we talk about in the book, Thy Kingdom Come. They don't want to be messing with that. I mean, you know, I'm not really a people person, you know, kind of thing. Well, then you're, what do you think? The kingdom of God has just got little isolated apartments with big screen TVs? Kingdom of God is agrarious. You should be gathering together. And so Jesus, you know, people say, oh, you don't have to do anything. Anybody who tells you, oh, you don't have to do anything, just believe. They are absolutely going against everything that Jesus said. In the book, Thy Kingdom Comes, if you go back to page 133 or somewhere around there, depending on what copy you have, and you get that free online, you don't have to pay me anything to read it. But we go through, you know, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's pretty obvious. That's the doctrines of Christ. That's what he was teaching. Paul never said anything different. You're misconstruing Paul because you're taking Paul out of the context of Christ and taking him out of the context of the gospel of the kingdom. And you don't even know what the early church was doing and what Paul was talking about. We have 22 hours on Paul. Actually, we got 24 hours on Paul now that addresses Paul and the Epistle of Romans audios that you can download for free. We'll show you the extra two that just came out in the newsletter, which will be going out this week. But you have to sign up. You have to actually connect on the Living Network in your area in order to get that newsletter. You're not going to get it just because, you know, you're sitting there. You have to take steps. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. I will like him unto a wise man, which built his house on the rock of faith. You have to do. Faith is an action word. It requires your doing. Now, that's Matthew 7:24, Matthew 7:26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house on sand. So where are you building, huh? Where are you doing this? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. My gosh. Does that mean you earn salvation? No. You can't do enough to earn it. It still has to come by grace. But if you're not doing what Christ said, be figured to be counted amongst those who are workers of iniquity. And whoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 12:50. Go read Matthew 6:2 and verse 3, or Matthew 8:9, or Matthew 21:28-31, or 18:23-35. They're all listed. They go on and on and on in Matthew. 25:14-46, 26:13. Or read Mark 3:35. Read in Luke 6:31, and as ye would that a man should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Should you take away from your neighbor so that you can have benefits and security? Well, then your neighbor can take away from you, so that he can have benefits of security. And he's a lot more insecure than you, and there's a lot more insecure people out there. And they want to take and take and take and take and take. And you've given the power to somebody to do that for them, and you call it government. But it is a government. It's just one form of government. It's not the form of government that Christ preached. It's not the form of government that we call the church, which is defined as one form of government, because the church doesn't operate that way. The church is filled with the benefactors who don't exercise authority, who take care of one another through love. And if that's not the way you take care of one another, then you're not going to Christ's church. I don't care if you're a Seventh-day Adventist or a Lutheran or a Methodist or a Catholic or a Jehovah Witness or a Muslim or a Jew. If you're going to men who exercise authority and say, give us this day our daily bread, our daily welfare, our daily social security, because we have sacrificed upon your civil altars and now we are entitled, and so therefore go to my neighbor and take from him so that I may have enough, then you are compatible with the ways of hell, and you will be drawn towards hell. And your eyes will be darkened, and you will be led by the blind through the valley of the shadow of death, and you should fear evil. He goes on to say, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to him he is like. He is like a man which built his house and dig deep and laid the foundation on rock, and when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon his house and could not shake it. That's Luke 6:46-49. He's telling you, you have to be a doer of the word. You will not be able to do enough. You will need those miracles of God, and they come to those who come to the Lord and to the ways of the Lord. If you do not come to the ways of the Lord, then you are not coming to the Lord, because you are not doing the will of the Father. What is another thing? Not only do you need to take care of your neighbor, you need to forgive your neighbor. Forgive so that you may be forgiven. And I don't know anybody who doesn't need a little forgiving now and then. As a matter of fact, most of the people I know need lots of forgiving on a pretty regular basis. So you need to start forgiving. Well, it isn't forgiving to say, I paid in, you have to pay in. That's not forgiving. That's very Canaanite-like. In John 3:20-21, it says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, If you're doing evil, if you're coveting your neighbor's good, you hateth the light. The light will not dwell in you. But if you repent and start trying to go even baby steps the other way, to start gathering with a few people and saying, you know, if you guys need help with anything, I want you to come to me before you go to the governments of the world who exercise authority one over the other. Do it now so that you don't have to say that you want to come together when you need help. Come together before you need help. And you come together with 5, 10 other people and you say, well, none of us need any help, so we get to all go home. No. You need to all get together and go out and find somebody who needs help. You need to go on the byways and the highways and look for somebody who needs help. I gave examples today on one of our conference calls. They are going through the Free Church Report. And I'm going to put together a booklet, and I'll add it to the newsletter and send it out to everybody eventually. I'll send it to the PCMs first. I've already put the booklet together. I just have to find it somewhere in the mess of stuff I have here to show you different things that you can do within a congregation to start the flow of God's blood, Christ's blood, in your community, in your gathering, in your free assemblies. You need to start the flow of that blood. You guys are out of your Christian bodies and out of shape. This is why the light is so dim in the world today. You need to practice the ways of Christ. You need to walk in the ways of Christ. You don't say there's nothing for us to do in the congregation because nobody needs any help. Go find somebody that needs help and start helping them. Start building a... Most of the congregations are very spread out. The people don't live right next to each other. So, that's a great opportunity of doing on a regular basis. Are you doing 10, 20% of what you earn every year along those lines? I'm not talking cash. I'm talking about your waking hours. Sometimes that converts into cash. Maybe that just converts into time and energy. I see so many people says, oh, well, it takes so much time to read some emails, so I'm not going to do anything. Well, guess what? Better figure on nothing being done for you by God or man. Christ came to serve. He didn't come to say, oh, you know, I'd really rather just go watch the Coliseum. I hear there's a good race on today. Instead, I got to go out and preach to the dang poor. He didn't just preach. He was feeding them. He was taking care of them. He was providing the social welfare of a whole nation through the church established by Christ that operated by faith, hope, and charity. They weren't just preaching. They weren't just talking. They were walking the walk. John 9:31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, doeth his will, him he heareth. You're not doing his will? Guess what? I will not hear you in that day. How many places can I tell you about that? How many places in the Bible does he say, I'm not going to hear you? Because you're not doing the will of the Father. You won't do it perfectly, but you got to at least be striving. That's why Jesus said, strive. He didn't just say, think. And think more. He said, strive, seek, persevere. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Come to serve. We can go on and on and on with this doing in Ephesians 6:8, knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bound or free. If you are going to be free, you must set your neighbor free. That means you must create a system that takes care of the needs of the people through faith, hope, and charity, not through force. If you continue to depend upon the system that operates by force, you yourself will remain under the authority of that system. If you turn around and start creating a system that operates by love, that brings life and light and love to one another, by free will sacrifice for each other, then the course of your future will change. You will be drawn, that, again, that word sacrifice, korban, means to draw near. Just as you must forgive so that you may be forgiven, you must give. You must cast your bread upon the waters. You must serve so that you may be given to and be served by God. You must be a candle of light for the light of God to shine upon you and shine on your way and to open your eyes. Colossians 3:25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. God is no respecter of persons. You go tell me you're saved, and the fish may believe you, but God will not. Actually, the fish will not even believe you, because you will not have dominion. Others will have dominion over you. You will be ruled by others. James says in 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in our ignorance. This is what we've done. We've gone back to the ways of Egypt. But it's worse with us today than it was before. So anyway, I encourage everybody to gather together in free assemblies. We're already doing that at thelivingnetwork.org, which will take you actually to preparing you right now. And you'll see the states listed and countries listed, and you can click on them and join the local groups. And when you get on those groups, don't just sit there and do nothing. Don't just sit there and wait for somebody to send you an entertaining email. Don't be rejecting everybody because somebody says something that sounds like a Seventh-day Adventist, or somebody else says something that sounds like a Catholic, or somebody else says something that you're interested in. You say something of value. You come to serve others, not so that others will entertain you. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to awaken you, because that's the job God gave me. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You're not ignorant anymore. You know. You shouldn't be coveting your neighbor's goods. You shouldn't be praying to men who call themselves benefactors. You should be coming together in order to serve one another. And if you do that, the scales will come off of your eyes and you will see a new light, a brighter light, a more revealing light that will show you the way, day by day, moment by moment. And a new world will open up, and your heart will be opened up, but you have to become a doer. Peter says, and if ye call on the Father, not the fathers of the earth, but the Father in heaven, who without respecter of persons judgeth according to every man's works, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. The kingdom of God is for the living. And if you seek it now, tomorrow will take care of itself. Christ says so. I believe it. Do you believe it? That's the end of the program for me today. And until next time, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.